Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Friday, March 24th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We have a very special Friday show today. But before we bring our guest on, Lisa, I can remember this day like it was yesterday. It was February 1990. I'd just gotten done with a day of work. I went up to the front office of the company I was working at, and one of my buddies was there, and he said, "Did you ever hear of a guy named Bill Cooper?" And I was like, "Nah, who's that?" He hands me a videotape. He says, "Just go home and watch this tonight." So I was like, I didn't think much about it. Went home that night and popped it in the VCR, started watching it. It was a speech of Bill Cooper in Las Vegas. And after about 15 minutes, my head started spinning like The Exorcist. I was just blown away by everything that I saw. Mm-hmm. Shortly after that, I got another videotape from Bill Cooper's speech in Phoenix, Arizona. And then the next year, of course, the seminal book, Behold a Pale Horse, came out. But from that day, when I got that first videotape, it absolutely and completely changed my life because I knew something was wrong in the world. I just couldn't put my finger on it. And Bill Cooper that day was the one that started me. And I can't thank my buddy enough for giving me that. Shortly thereafter, I read Gary Ellen's None Dare Call It Conspiracy and have been obsessed with this stuff basically for the last 16 years, which leads us into today's guest,
right,
Mr. Doyle Shanley, who was closely affiliated with Bill Cooper before his murder and also now is carrying on the tradition there. So we'd like to welcome Mr. Doyle Shanley to Wing TV. How you doing, Doyle?
Hi, Doyle.
Hey, pretty good. How are you two?
Good.
Real good. Well, Doyle, you heard that intro, and I'll bet Bill Cooper changed a lot of people's lives. But before we get into this interview, tell everyone how they can find your website and some of the things you're doing there.
Well, our website is hourofthetime.com.
Okay.
And that's the namesake of the show. The official Hour of the Time radio broadcast started in 93. So hence the namesake of the website, and that's Hour of the Time, and that's Monday through Fridays at 3 Eastern, which is really cool because we don't compete with you and Frank Whalen. I really like that.
Yeah.
And so people can go to the website and see how to listen via the Internet or satellite, AM and FM stations, et cetera. So hourofthetime.com will give them everything. That way I don't waste a lot of your time.
All right. Well, we're very thankful for you coming on today, and I know a lot of people, even 4.5 years after Bill's murder, are still interested in him. But let's start off today going back to September 15th, 2001. This was 4 days after 9/11, and Bill wrote an article called Who Benefits? The Questions No One Dares to Ask. And, you know, when I reread this article again yesterday, it sent chills down my spine how close and how on the mark he was. So let me ask you this. Do you think this article was one of the reasons why Bill was killed and that they didn't want the biggest name in the alternative media to blow them out of the water that shortly after 9/11?
Well, articles that prefaced that one had a lot to do with it. They obviously needed to get him to shut up. But see, in paragraph 4 on the front page of the State Department of Public Safety, State of Arizona's report on his murder, where they deemed it a homicide themselves, even on the death certificate, they stated how originally, and this goes into a multi-area operation, originally it was set for September 11th. They were going to raid him. And then they had security issues, one of those mainly being the fact that we went on for 10 hours straight on 9/11.
Right.
So that was one of the big security issues right there. Also, they had a people that they were going to use because they used multiple agencies, Maricopa County, which is so famous because of that Nazi sheriff down there, Arpaio and stuff, that they were suddenly... The towers happened, and now they had people in their own organization that were questionable and this and that. So they had to call off the September 11th one and replan it. And they did plan it because of a few key things. When they came and picked me up, imaging. They had used, which isn't an uncommon tactic, used people like the UPS driver.
Right.
He'd been coming for years to pick up orders every day, and we'd let him in and bathroom water. Well, guess what? They buy these people off, and they draw maps of how the house is laid out.
Yeah.
And they'll use any agency, any person they can get to sell you out.
Mm-hmm.
And they use, of course, Judas Glenn Jacobs, that we called him. We did a show on him, a local that was an FBI informant and known psychopath, even admitted it. Mm-hmm. And so they had really planned it out heavily, to the point even that when the sergeant from Eager PD came to my house in the morning, after it happened, right at dawn, basically, they had my street blockaded already at the ends, which, of course, you're not going to notice. How many people go out and look up at each end of their street?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Doyle.
And he told me, see, Eager Police wasn't called till everything was done, even though it was in their town and everything. And they woke up the chief, who accordingly woke up the lieutenant and sergeant, a small town. That's, you know, most of your leadership.
Right.
And he was told by the deputies in charge that night that the sheriff was conveniently out of the area that evening, but they had arranged and had planned that they did not want to deal with the media standoff, so he was not to get in the house alive because they knew he could get to weapons to defend himself. They knew that he could make phone calls. They knew he could get on the air.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Bill also wrote before his death in November. He wrote this, I guess, in late September. The attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon on 9/11 may have a much more sinister origin than anyone is ready to explore or consider. And he started to point out the CIA's role in these attacks. What did Bill think? Who did he think was really behind this, and where was he going with his investigation? Do you know?
Yeah, because we had been working on that. That thing took over our lives that morning. He called me, and it was busy, and it's because I was calling him at, you know, early here, because we're way out west, on 9/11. And that's hence the long broadcast all day and the logistics and everything after that. And really, it's because of things like the front organizations over there being complete contrivances of MI5 and 6 and the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were tools. They were political movements. They weren't long-established Afghani armies or anything. It had been used for years.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that on September 11th, there was a, right after that, part of the rejuggling at the federal, you know, which is the biggest, by the way, you know, reorganization of federal government in history. The CIA had a split down the middle, to the point of even we're leaving this headquarters. It's so bugged. We're going. Some of us are going over here. And you had two factions: the one that helped it come along, and the other half that was blatant and open on the news saying there are no weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
And it was on the news from the CIA.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Shortly after the Oklahoma City bombing, we're going to go back to another bombing, and Bill was instrumental in being one of the people to reveal or expose that there were bombs inside the Alfred P. Murrah building. But just days after this bombing, Rush Limbaugh came out and called Bill the most dangerous radio show host in America. What was Bill's reaction? I guess he took that as a compliment, huh?
Yeah, because really it came down to Rush Limbaugh was reading a memo from Filegate, Clinton's little Hoover act of having files and dossiers on people, and that was a White House memo in his file that Rush Limbaugh read on the air. Rush Limbaugh was reading White House material.
Wow.
And so Bill did take it as a compliment because, number one, who pinned it? And what administration pinned it? And number two, why was he the most dangerous talk show host? Well, because he was driving a stake right into him. They're hard.
Right.
That's right.
Bill Clinton was going to great efforts to shut Bill Cooper up. What did that FBI file on Bill Cooper have to say? Do you know?
No. There was because of the trumped up warrants, essentially, from the Federal Marshal Service, etc., that started in 98 when we debuted it on the air, what happened and how they came to the house and tried to serve and stuff. And the FBI, like Agent Steve Filler up from Pine Top, Arizona and stuff. Because of that, interaction within the agencies to get FOIAs or anything like that basically just came to an instant stop. And we had been doing this for so long.
Uh-huh.
And I think what really the stimulus was a lot of people don't realize that in writing and at the conference, we have the membership and annual intelligence conference like we're having this fall. In 98, we had proven with over 126 points of law that the federal jurisdiction limitations. Bill and I personally made books of these, and we sent them registered mail, return receipt, all the way, either I hand-deliver them to locals, police, sheriffs, etc., all the way to Janet Reno, were delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really the stimulus, because that happened, then we did the audios of the video, the audio tracks off the video from the conference, on federal jurisdiction, or lack thereof, which is the more, I guess, correct term.
Right.
And that was the clincher.
Yeah.
Because with this research, you can... It's definite proof in law that the federal government has what we know, you know, and you guys know, jurisdiction over territories, magazines, arsenals, and 13 square miles of Washington, D.C.
Well, Doyle, Bill's real instrumental in exposing secret societies, people like the Jason Society, the Bilderbergs, the Division 5 of the FBI. But what I want to ask you is that there's a lot of people in the alternative media, the Patriot Movement, that talk all the time that they're going to get killed, that their life is in danger. But it seems like none of them ever get killed. But Bill was the real thing. And the way I see it is...
And Bill did get killed.
Yeah, and if somebody is truly dangerous, they don't talk about killing them. They just kill them. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, constantly are... The recipients of harassment, phone taps are constant, like right now.
Mm-hmm.
Email, all being filtered and read. Our broadcast being analyzed from, and this is by feds, and they come into town even to see if I'll go have a talk with them, and they try to get third parties to lure me out, like a local store or somebody they know that's a friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
Hey, can you get Doyle to come out?
Well, what about Bill getting
killed?
That's
because Bill and operations like Hour of the Time is a definite threat to them, exposing their lies. And a lot of these guys have been saying this, and some of them for years. I remember Baker in the 90s. All they do is gobble up as much funds selling overpriced gas masks and food storage systems and overpriced coins. And then when they've got themselves set up really good, they disappear out of the scene.
Yeah.
And once they're set up financially.
Yeah.
You know, and then they've always got excuses, like, oh, we don't talk about the tax issue because it'd be just a waste of my time.
Right. Yeah, we're going to get to that in a second.
Let me ask you this, Doyle. Many people would find it hard to believe that mind-controlled devices and methods really do exist today and that their government would possibly use them against them. Yet Bill Cooper knew about these remote-control mind technologies and was writing about this certain patent, and he tried to warn people about this. What do you know about the remote mind control that Bill was talking about?
There's hundreds of patents now, oral research technology, and in fact, we do update shows on that topic, just like weather control and militia, et cetera, all the time. And recently we did an hour-long broadcast where basically I just read the paragraph form synopsis at the beginning of the patent and the patent number, because so many people will tell you, oh, no, this doesn't exist. You're full of junk. So I gave them the link to the patent office, the numbers, and the descriptions right on the air, just like Bill was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But so many of the same people, they won't take time to call back what they said about you.
Yeah.
And say, oh, well, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I looked up the exact stuff you gave out, and you're right, it's there.
Yeah, and there it is.
No, it does exist, and it's all over.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Doyle, one other thing that Bill did that a lot of people still today in the alternative media don't do is they don't expose the Zionist or the Jewish element. And I know Bill was targeted by the ADL because he did a series of 8 broadcasts about them where he exposed the ADL as this criminal and subversive organization. What impact do you think the ADL had on the smear campaign of Bill Cooper and ultimately his murder?
Well, quite a bit, because in the files that I got from have now since been destroyed, by the way, from the law enforcement concerning Bill, I positioned all of them. So anything to do with him, and extensively through there and building up to September 11th, remember the initial date, a key date for them, the illumined ones, and then having to wait till November 5th, often called November 6th because it was so close to midnight. They extensively throughout there, the files contain information that law enforcement was given by the Southern Poverty Law Center, Morris Dees, scumbag Zionist, ADL, JDL, APAC, and that's why I don't let off of them either. There isn't a day that doesn't go by that I don't send out links.
Good for you.
Proving their corruption.
Right.
And the Zionist, something that people really need to understand, and I know you guys do, and a lot of good people do, but some don't. Zionist doesn't mean Jew. It's a mindset. It's a philosophy. It's a religion.
Right.
And Bush and Cheney are Zionist.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, so, and, but they like to, those organizations, they instantly, because they can win the hearts and minds of the general stupid sheeple in America by saying, oh, look at him, he's anti-Semitic.
Right.
He said Zionist.
Yeah.
So that's how they manipulated, but yeah, they helped extensively, even with pictures of Bill, descriptions of Bill, show contents, and they were feeding it to the law enforcement agencies.
Yep, I believe that.
Doyle, I'm really curious. Bill was very involved in exposing what he called this great UFO deception, and over time, it looked like he severed all his ties to other UFO researchers. He had a big to-do with Art Bell, and there was a lot of buzz about that. What happened between Bill and these other UFO researchers? He started to suspect them of things,
yeah,
didn't he?
What happened was he, you know, he really is the one who coined the term ufology movement. And what happened was he realized at a point that the facts that they were given and shown in top secret documents in the military and outside the military and civilian capacities were there on purpose. And he admitted it on the air and on the website several times. And he realized that they were actually just a distractor, neutralizing agent of the socialist to get people to not look at the real issues or look at the facts and worry about little green men. So he began exposing them, but they have some heavy backing.
Oh, yeah.
The ufology movement. Money and media, etc.
Oh, they absolutely do.
They fired back, and it became a whole war of lawsuits back and forth, and you plagiarized this from me. It just got crazy, and Art Bell's thing culminated one evening after the we had pre-taped the show to have a barbecue on the back porch. We lived together and everything, and it was a nice summer day, and we would listen to Art Bell to get a good laugh. And we were hearing this show about little green peas, that's what they said, that were floating over the White Mountains of Arizona, where we live.
Like
we're outside barbecuing. There's no little green pea soup floating around. Well, they wouldn't let us in because they screen all the calls.
Right.
We didn't lie. We said who we were. Then, ironically, a guy called in and said, hey, Art, why don't you have someone that's factual and have the hour of the time on as a guest? And he, right there on the air, said that we were dead, and the Behold a Pale Horse, there was no use looking for it because it was out of print.
Jeez.
He said Bill Cooper was dead?
Yeah. We were barbecuing ribs.
Oh, God.
Listening to the show.
Yeah. Well, we've had our own run-ins with those, so we know what you mean. But
yeah.
A minute ago, you mentioned the IRS. And I know Bill researched the IRS for years, and he filed Freedom of Information Act requests. And he wanted proof of their jurisdiction, their delegation, and their authority to collect taxes, and the IRS couldn't provide this proof. So how much of a threat was Bill Cooper to blowing the whole lid off of the IRS?
Well, that's just it. That was all part of the federal jurisdiction research paper. It's huge. It's, I think, 86 pages long that we put out that summer. And I think that is really the key that started the whole thing, because we had the conference and it was done live and videotaped, and we played the audio tracks and proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that a lot of the things, even the fact of how they harass cattle ranchers in Arizona,
yeah,
with saying, oh, this is federal land. No, it isn't. It wasn't ceded properly by the state legislature. So, no, it's not federal land. And that was, I really believe, the start, because then the federal marshal showed up and tried to serve warrants. Then the FBI agents like Steve Filler up showed up when we were in the backyard one day, and we seen him coming up the hill and waved at him armed. So he'd stop, and he got out and said, oh, I just want to give you this envelope. We're old friends. Let's have a talk.
Uh-huh.
And come on, idiots. And Steve was such a screw-up, Filler-up, that he got left. And they brought in new agents that were to reel us in, and they couldn't reel us in. So then they brought in a new guy, an old heavyset guy, I forget his name right now, over here, and they created a militia, like, watchdog unit in the FBI, and Arizona being mainly targeted because Arizona's got the highest amount.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they centered on the White Mountains up here.
Yeah.
And really padded it up, and it still goes on today, like these boneheads that show up here trying, oh, let's go have a meeting, and they're crazy.
Doyle.
Yeah.
We could spend so many hours talking about Bill Cooper and how valuable he was in exposing crimes of the federal government and so forth, and exposing the New World Order and the UFO deception. But let me ask you, being that you knew him personally, what has the world lost with the passing of Bill Cooper?
Well, they lost one of the few people that's willing to say what needs to be said and isn't worried about the ramifications to his safety for saying what needs to be said. That is a key component that's missing in this country. If our founding fathers acted like the average American now, we'd still be in sipping tea at noon. It's pitiful.
Yeah. It is.
The sheep mentality, sheeple, the term Bill coined that one, that is pervaded society. And when they lost him, they lost a dynamic person.
Yeah.
Now, of course, there's plenty of detractors. They say, oh, he was so ornery and crotchety to get along with. Hey, I know. I lived with the guy and knew him for years.
Yeah.
He got in our share of arguments, trust me.
That's right. Well,
that's going to happen whenever you have two people that are passionate about their cause in the same house that are both hard-headed.
Yeah, we know about
that.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. He called it like it was, and like he said on the air, people need to wake up fast, and if he has to, he's going to use a verbal 2x4.
That's right. Well, Doyle, real quick before we go, I'm holding up again a copy of Bill's book, Behold a Pale Horse, came out in 1991.
So
give
excellent.
Out your website address one more time, and then I want to read a quote before we go. But, Doyle, we're going to have you on again because there is much, much more to talk about. So give that website address.
Sure. OurTheTime.com, and just shortly, I mean really shortly, we are having the entire Behold a Pale Horse ebook on our site available, cheaper than you can buy it anywhere in the world.
Awesome.
Excellent, excellent.
To get it out there.
Yeah, and I just want to let everyone go into the weekend here with something that was posted on Bill's site before he was murdered. It says, warning, any attempt by the federal government or anyone else to execute the unconstitutional and unlawful arrest warrants issued by Judge Irwin on William and Annie Cooper will be met with armed resistance. Any person who attempts to kidnap our children will be shot upon discovery. Bill Cooper was the real thing.
He was fearless.
When he died, when he was murdered 4.5 years ago, we lost one of the great patriots ever in this country. So we just want everyone out there, if you haven't read Behold a Pale Horse, get it, because it's a must. And Doyle, thank you so much for coming on Wing TV.
Yeah, Doyle's
today.
Getting ready to do his show. Oh, yeah. I guess you pre-recorded today, huh?
Yeah,
I pre-recorded, but it's all new info. I just did it this morning.
Well, yeah. thanks very much for juggling your schedule like that.
Yeah, thank you, Doyle. Well, and we're going
to
have
you
on.
Thank you, too, for giving me the opportunity to get a few facts out and the website, et cetera. I appreciate it.
Well, we're going to have you on again, so you have a good weekend. We'll talk shortly, okay?
You, too.
Everybody have a good weekend. We'll be back again on Monday. Until then, keep your eyes open because there is a lot going on.
See you all then.